Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening. So keep my heart in tune. You know, we sang that beautiful, beautiful song last week in the Shreveport Church. And every time we sing it, my heart remembers another part of that song. There was a sweet young lady we had in our congregation in Livingston. And she, every Sabbath, she'd come up and say, "I am not right with the Lord. I am not right with the Lord." And she's just a young lady, bless her heart. I just appreciated her so much. "But I am not right with the Lord. I'm not in tune. I'm not in tune." And she, and when we got to sing that song, Whisper a Prayer, in the morning, noon, and night, she said, "I can't sing that song. I got to whisper a prayer. I got to start in the morning, and I can't stop all day, or I'll fall into sin. I can't, I'm the morning, noon, and night, and everything in between. I got to keep praying because I'm out of tune with God." You know, do we realize where we are with our Lord and Savior? Are we out of tune? Are we out of alignment? I appreciated that young lady so much because she would admit, "I'm not in tune with my God." Are we today? You know, my prayer is, as we study our verse from the John, 1 John, that God, the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus will lead us into alignment with His will. May we be in His will. May we start praying and not stop. Never stop. May we be in prayer as God's people, in line with His will. You want to let's sing our theme song, and we'll have our prayer. Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Oh, isn't it wonderful to hear my church family sing that song? As Bible believing, prophecy reading, Sabbath keeping, Jesus coming back, going home people, we love to sing that song, don't we, dear ones? Just a reminder that we, as Bible believers, are Jesus coming back, going home people. Sometimes we just lose that remembrance sometimes, don't we? Are we living our life today as Jesus coming back, going home people? God bless us. God bless us for singing that beautiful song. Jesus is coming back. May God prepare our hearts. May we be in tune, aligned with His will as we never stop praying. Pray without ceasing. By God, God's blessing. You know, it is wonderful to be here with all of the that's happening. The children's story. And I love that children's story. It's just so much fun. And it's just so good. And just the sin that's in there. So you can see it, sometimes you can't, but it's in there. You gotta get it out by God's grace. Thank you. And all the music and the songs and singing and my and the Julie and the money and the investment and thank you. So I didn't know that article was there. But thank you so much for that. Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful. When I came in the church, I had my usual double door entrance, and I appreciate that so much. I just thank you. I came in the double door, and I remembered Aaron. I forgot the name. I said, Austin, Adam. What's that other name? Moses. No. Aaron. There. I had to be an A. So Julie and Charles, bless you all. Your boys are just so supportive and loving, and just my. Have you created a family environment of love and peace with your family? So God bless you. And at each point, God bless each one of you for being here. It's so wonderful to see all of you. I miss you. I miss you. Whenever I get to be here, it's such a joy. We lift up Bernard, and I know, bless his heart. John Beverly was telling me a little bit about, it's just when you have a sore something, your life is just not right. I know it. So bless you. We'll lift up Bernard in special prayer. And Beverly, give him our love. Give him our love. Thank you. God bless us. God bless us. As we go on, let's have our prayer and ask the Lord to lead us as we study this beautiful, beautiful passage in 1 John chapter 2, let's ask God to lead us. Can we align us with his will? Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your love and letting us be right here together as a family, surrendered. And Father, we want to choose you. We want to choose you. Just as long as we're choosing you, we're aligned, and the devil can't come in. So may we choose you. Father, we ask your blessing over us as we study. Give us wisdom, and the Holy Spirit, may we see the truth and act on it. We thank you, Father. We lift up all those that are ill and not feeling well. Remember Bernard. He's healing from his arm, and continue to heal his shoulder. And bless him, and bless all those that aren't here today, that can't be. But Father, all those that are here, that are worshiping you, Father, and you know our needs. You know our families. You know our heart aches and our heart breaks. You know, Father. So please, we lift up our hearts and say, please, give us your presence, comfort, and may we be aligned with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless us. God bless you. Come over here. Get my Bible over here. Well, my little Fufu, my little 6-year-old, going on 20, no, she just finished kindergarten. She's going into first grade. My little one, I cannot believe first grade. So she runs the house now. Now she's really going to run the house. But she's she came over and she figured out a plan for Papa. She said, "No, Papa, when you get out of bed, this is what you do. You switch to this wheelchair, because I have several wheelchairs there. Now, and then go around, turn a little bit, then switch to the other wheelchair, and then you'll be okay. Then you can go around, and then when you're ready, come back, and then go. Be careful, sneak into the side, switch onto the other wheelchair, and then slip back on the bed." I said, "Fufu, that's a wonderful plan. How'd you think of that?" She said, "Papa, I was just thinking of how to keep you from falling. Because she's been with me in a lot of falls. So follow this plan. Just kind of switch here, switch there." And she had me switching wheelchairs all over the place. What a good plan. Because I don't want you to fall. And I just appreciate that so much. Thank you, Vu. I'm going to try that plan too. God has a plan for us, because he doesn't want us to fall. God has a plan for each of our lives. He has a plan to follow, because he doesn't want us to go down. He doesn't want us to fall. I want to read a verse to start our context. Our study is verse 28, second to last verse of this chapter, chapter 2. Remember, we are doing a series out in Shreveport, and we're including Mount Pleasant, on the Johannine books. Because these books, John 1, 2, and 3, right before Revelation, are the character of God, a study of God's character. But the reason they're so special, the reason I love them so much, is because they're so pertinent and relevant to the end time marchers. Marchers of Zion here in the end time. And you know, if we lose the idea that it's the end times, just kind of turn it on the news a little bit, maybe. Then turn it right back off then. But you know, the end times, look around us. You know what? The end times are here. You know, we need to be ready. Sunday law is not only on the books. It's getting ready to be signed into legislation. Do you want this? We're there. Not to be scared, but to be ready. And do what? Here's this, the verse 28, to set a context. If we go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 10, my first context verse. I love context verses. To kind of set the stage here. And this is in verse 10. Electronics, I have to go a little bit slower. And the people who can't see have to go a little bit slower. Here we go. Verse 10, dear ones, hang on. This is our end time preparation verse. And remember my Fufu, who had a plan in the wheelchair transfer for me because he didn't want me to fall. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Do you want? Abideth, the Greek for remain. Abideth. One who remains as the end times come by, with all the winds of doctrine as the Sunday law is agitated, then legislated, then mandated, then the death decree, dear one, we're just following prophecy, testimony of Jesus. Revelation 19:10. We're just following prophecy. We're following the testimony of Jesus. Here it is. Those that remain in the light in Jesus' righteousness, and therefore, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You know, I can't say that enough. I just love that verse. Verse 10. There's no occasion of stumbling. Nothing's going to happen. No legislation, no mandation, no death decree that's going to make us stumble if we're abiding in the Lord, if we're remaining in his life. Nothing does. You know, because you know why? God doesn't stumble. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves. I think we know. Yes, okay, we'll agree about that. But wait a minute. God doesn't stumble. There's no stumble in God Almighty. There's no stumble. So if we're in, abiding in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, in his arms, in his heart, surrendering and choosing him, there's no stumbling. My little foo-foo didn't want me to stumble and fall. God doesn't want us to fall. He invites us now, come into him. Do you want, right now, let's make a vow. Let's abide with the Lord Jesus. Abide with the Lord Jesus. Do you want? Now, he's going to take a vow and a prayer. And just like the whisper of prayer in the morning, we got to whisper that prayer all day to keep it in line with him. Whereby we're remaining. And if we choose Jesus, he will choose us. James 4:7 says, stand up for me and I'll stand up for you. Do you want? So this whole idea. Sunday law, mandation, death decree. I'm standing for Jesus. I'm remaining in the light, righteous arms of my Savior. I'm remaining in the love of God. And if we're remaining in God's arms, we're not going to be stumbling. Do you want? Which gives us this idea. The only reason we stumble, the only reason we fall, the only reason we sin, is because we're not in the arms of Jesus. So may we pray right now, dear God, help us to be in your arms. That's all where we want to be. We don't want to be anywhere else. Keep us in your arms. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we first text, we'll go down now to 15. Oh, this is so beautiful. I love the Johannine books because, I didn't get to finish. They look at God's character. But how they define God's character, this is why it's so special. They define his character by God's character by his power. God's character is his power. And you know what? God's power is our march to Zion. That's our march. That's our walk. That's where we march. We're going in the promised land by God's power. We're going in up into heaven. We're in God's arm by his power. You know what? That's why the Johannine books are so special. I just love these books. And they're just so much. So we know now that we're studying God's character. We know that God's character is his power, defined by his power, his almighty power as creator and sovereign king. Wouldn't you want to be in the arms of the sovereign king? Wouldn't that be the better place to be? We just need to remind ourselves. That's where I need to be. Yeah. And then our march is God's power as we march along. Do you want to, okay? So verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, here we go, love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, which is seriously, profound. If you love the world, of course, you're not in the Father. So John makes a distinction. There's God, there's the world. The great controversy, dear one, the great controversy. God against Satan. We can start putting it together. The world then is the darkness. Okay, verse 16. Here we go. For all that is in the world, and it's defined. Babylon is defined. Hollywood is defined. The world is defined. I remember being in a hotel room with my family having worship somewhere. I'm not sure where we were, but they asked, well, what is Babylon? So we got kind of got the decision. Our conclusion was the world. And here John describes the world. He defines the world. Here it is. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Here it is. And it's not of the Father, but is of the world. So God makes this distinction. between light and dark, righteous and unrighteous, world and God, God and Satan. Dear ones, it goes in verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof pass away. But those that do the will of God remain forever. You want, so the context is, if we're in the arms of God, we are forever. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. You want, let's make that choice together. I want to make it right now. Let's make it together. Dear God, I choose you. You want, if we are constantly choosing the Lord and Savior, we have no time for sin. We have no time to stumble. We're in God's arms. We choose God, and God will then lift us and keep us and meld us and mold us into his character. It will last forever. So now we go down to this beautiful verse, verse 28. You know, my little 14-year-old Macy, you haven't met her. She's a little snapper. She's 14. So you can just imagine the wonderfulness of the 14. She's driving, not legally at all, but you know, with parent, and she's driving, and she's very, very good. And she drove up. I was going down the driveway, and she snuck up behind me. We have gravel driveway. I didn't hear a thing. I mean, she was a careful driver, I think, but she came up beside me. That's a quiet girl. Yeah, yeah. And then I got these words from her mama. From her mama, our daughter Sarah was sitting right there. I said, Mace, you look really good in that. You look like a good driver. This is mama saying this. Oh, yes, she is very good. She is careful. She is focused. And she's aware. And Macy agreed. Oh, yeah, I'm a good driver. Yeah, a little bit worrisome right there, but I'm a good driver. Yeah, but when she drove off back down the driveway, but as they left me in the dark with that idea, she's careful, she's focused, and she's aware. Is that our march? Is that our march? Is that us as Christians? That are in choosing Jesus, that are not stumbling because we're in God's arms? Is that us? Well, are we careful? Are we focused and are we aware of what's happening? And are we aware of where we are in our condition? Are we out of tune with our Savior? And are we doing something about it by surrendering our life and asking God to hold us and lift us up? Are we careful? Are we focused? And are we aware? I'm thinking of Ephesians 5:15. Walk circumstantially. Walk carefully. Focused and aware. Are we focused? Are we focused? Oh, the world is moving so fast. Isn't one of the reasons the world moves so fast? The media, all the social. Yeah, why it goes so fast? They never just have a simple, nice little. It's always every which way. Why? Why? To confuse us, so we can't focus. My daughter Sarah came up the other day and she said, I am so tired that I can't think. I thought, oh, I understand. I understand. But I thought, ooh, isn't that where Satan wants us? Isn't that where Satan wants us? He wants us to be so tired. So tired in our body, in our mind, our soul, that we can't think. We can't focus. We can't be aware. We can't be careful. No, we're so tired, we can't think. We can't choose. We can't choose. If we can't think, we can't choose the Savior. Therefore, God can't pick us up. And therefore, we are lost. How many of us are walking down toward the lake of fire and we don't know it? I'm just talking straight testimony here. How many of us are not ready for our Savior, not connected? I'm talking to myself. Are we ready? Are we connected to our Savior? And often, I don't want to be one of those sad-faced Christians. And it's just the backwards, just the opposite. Those that afflict their hearts are the opposite, because you lay it all down. You realize that you're a sinner. You lay it all down, and God picks it all up. Those sad-faced Christians are those that are still hanging on to sin. that treasured sin in their lives. And they're not free. You know, may we be free today. May we be free by the Lord God Almighty. Verse 28. Here we go. Here's our verse today. With the context of, hey, where there's no stumbling in God. And if we're in God, there's no stumbling. I had a CAT scan the other day down there. You know, I'm not a scan person. I'm not a fan of those imageries. Especially if you have to get in some sort of a tube. I'm not going in that tube again. If they order a CAT scan, I say, let's just make up one, because I'm not going in that tube again. Unless they put me out. There was a lady there in the lobby, and we were all kind of laughing. It was real cute. We were all in the lobby waiting for our scan to come up. And she came down the hall, and she wouldn't come in the lobby. She wouldn't come in. She had to point out to her. Make sure my toes are pointing toward that door. Because I've been here too long. I'm tired of it. They poked and prodded and x-rayed and done everything to it. I've been on all the tortures. I've been on it. But I'm not going in that lobby because I'm pointing toward that. I'm making sure my feet are pointed toward that door because I'm going out to the parking lot. I'm getting there. I'm going home because I'm tired of being here. And we all were kind of chuckling in the lobby. But isn't that the march to Zion? I'm touching my pole to point my toes toward the parking lot. Is that where your toes are pointed today? Toward the park, so you can get ready so you can go home. The parking lot of life, so you can get ready and have Jesus align your heart with God so you can get ready to go home. Is that our heart? Is that where our heart is? We've been here long enough. I've been here so long. Dear Lord, I need you to come back and turn this around for me. Turn this around for us. I need you to come back. I need to take us back home. Jesus is wanting to get his family back. Where are your toes pointed today? Where are your eyes pointed? Where are your heart? Where is it pointed? Are you pointed toward the will of God, toward God's love, his arms? Are you pointed that way because that's where you want to go? May we be pointed toward the love of God in everything. We may walk circumstantially, carefully, focused and aware. And may God align us with his will. So there won't be sad-faced Christians. We'll be joyous-faced Christians. Because we'll be in God's will. Our will be laid down. God will fulfill his will in us. We'll be full of his character. And we'll be in his way. There's nothing but joy in the plan of salvation. Amen. Verse 28. Here we go. Let's say a little prayer real quick. Dear Father, as we enter into now this word of study, may you give us your Holy Spirit to lead us into your truth, so it'll lift us, give us strength as we march on and point our eyes toward heaven. Verse 28. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Here we go. Verse 28. Let's read together. And now, 1 John 2:28, the almost the end of the chapter. This is the summary verse. And now, little children, would you now abide with you, my family? When you're up here, you want to say that to all of you I love you all so much. And now, my little family, my special babies, my little family, and now, little children, abide in him. Now, remember the Greek, abide, Greek, New Testament, is remain. Okay? Remain requires a choice, doesn't it? The winds blow. Doctrines are legislated and legislation and Sunday laws and death decrees. Well, those that remain. Can't buy or sell. Those that remain abideth in him. Here he goes. That when he shall appear, this is our Lord and Savior, second coming of our Jesus, coming back to get his family. When he'll appear, we may have confidence. You want the Greek confidence is identity. We will have identity. We'll be a people. We'll be God's family. We'll have confidence. We'll be identified. And how will we be identified? Here it is. Here it is. And not be ashamed before him. That's direct, straight testimony. Straight. This is why, and I refer to straight, the straight testimony of the Laodicean angel came to the Laodicean church. Revelation 3, 14 to 18. That Laodicean message. Remember? Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that ye may wear my raiment, my white robe, and not be ashamed of thy nakedness. And we're ashamed of our nakedness because we're not, we don't have the robe on. We're at the wedding and there's no robe. We're not wearing the robe. We're not wearing the righteousness. We can't go in without the robe. Remember the ten virgins. So here is a straight testimony. So not be ashamed. We're not ashamed because we have identity because we're wearing Christ's righteousness. That's our identity. We're the people that are wearing Christ's righteousness. Why? Because we've asked for it. We've chosen Jesus. We're wearing his righteousness. We're wearing his robe. And we're before him. That's judgment talk. We're before the judgment. This is judgment time. We're wearing a robe of righteousness before the Lord at judgment time at his second coming. And the parable of the ten virgins tells us that those who are wearing the white raiment, those who are wearing the robe of righteousness, those who are wearing the wedding garment, go in with the king. We're in. We're home. We're identified. We have an identity. As we march along to Zion, as we go through this world and all the difficult winds of doctrine and all the different and legislations and difficulties and hatreds and all the different persecutions we go through, we have an identity because we're wearing Christ's righteousness. We're wearing the wedding garment. We're wearing his wardrobe of righteousness, and we'll go in when he comes back. And he's appearing, we're judged as his people. That's our identity, dear ones. The straight testimony is just so profoundly magnificent. Revelation 3 of the Laodicean angel. They're lukewarm. Why? They haven't made a decision. They haven't made their choice. Jesus said, I have to spew you out of my mouth because you haven't made the choice. Dear one, have we made our choice today? Have we made our choice? Here we are, this special, beautiful Mount Pleasant family. Have we made our choice? Or are we lukewarm too, like the Laodicean? The angel said, "Kim, and yet, no, here's the counsel, verse 18, Revelation 3. Buy of me, Jesus said, buy of me gold, buy of my character, this gold standard, buy of my character. With what? Buy of me gold, tried in the fire. The fire of affliction is what? Your confession, your repentance, your surrender, your submission to the Word of God. Buy of God his character through affliction of your character. Have you made the choice? Have you laid it all down? Have you confessed your heart to the Lord Jesus? You know, in 1888, Jesus was, Ms. White tells us in the councils that Jesus was ready to come. He was ready to pour the latter rain. He was ready to come on back and gather his people. Yeah, but then we're reminded that Jesus could not come back because we refused to live the plan. We refused the identity that Jesus had for us. We refused the white robe of righteousness. We refused to work the plan in our life. We refused to surrender. Dear one, please, may we surrender now. Let's not keep Jesus from coming back a second time. Surrender now. Surrender now. Submit your life. Lay it all down. Let him lift it all up. What could be more wonderful than having Jesus lift up our lives? There was always holding on to any treasured sin. Are we holding on to any issue of Babylon or lust of life, lust of eye, pride of life that we just can't let go of? Or we just don't want to let go of? Or we're afraid to let go of? You know, may the Holy Spirit lead us to letting go of it. Just let go of it. Buy of God his character. Tried in the fire of repentance and confession. Surrender and submission. Submission to the love of the will of God. And wear his robe. Don't be ashamed of nakedness, and you're ashamed of your nakedness because you don't have any robes on. You don't got the righteousness on. You're naked in sin. I don't want to be ashamed anymore. I want to wear God's righteousness. I want the identity of God. I want the identity of God's people. I want to choose my Savior. Don't you want to do that too? Let's do that together. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. I lay it all down before the Lord. I was at the eye doctor this last, I think a couple of weeks ago now. And we were sitting there, filling in all the things, and the nice little nurse was, typing everything in. And one of the questions she asked me was, "Well, now what brings you in today?" "Now I want to see. I'd like to see if I could. Can you help me see?" She said, "You're going to give that a try." So she typed everything in, and we got everything going. And then all of a sudden, we were sitting there doing our paperwork and all, and then the fire alarm went off. The fire alarm in the big complex there. And we thought, she said, "Uh-oh." I thought, okay. So what do we do? So I thought, okay, we'll follow the protocol. And the fire alarm went off. So we went up, and she kind of went out in the hallway, and she kind of stopped. And I saw other nurses. They were standing by their stations, and the patients were just kind of floating about. And then she started to say, "We had this happen yesterday. I don't know quite what to do." "Oh, don't tell me that! I don't know quite what to do." No. "You're supposed to know what to do. This is your building." "I don't know what to do." She said, "And the fire alarm went off. I don't know quite what to do." I said, "I know what to do. Now let's get out of here. The fire can be so big and so hot that it can be burning the wires, and they went off because the fire burned it off, and they're coming up the stairs, and we're going to be engulfed in flame. Get out of here. Give me a door. Give me a window. Give me anything. Let's get out of here. I know what to do. Let's get out of here." But she said, I just I'm confused. And it just looked like to me, the other nurses were having that same idea. I can go over to them and say, "Oh, honey, I know what to do." The alarm stopped, which is a bit worrisome, isn't it? I mean, couldn't the fire burn the fire? The wire's right up, and it's coming after us. So I said, "We need to do something." And she said this, "I don't think we have a plan." "Oh, don't say it. Don't tell me." So there we were in the hallway. No plan. Not knowing what to do. It was a worrisome state to be in. We didn't know where the fire was. We didn't know where it was happening. No plan. No one to do. It was a worrisome state. The fire alarm is sounding. The fire alarm is sounding on this world and God's people everywhere. It's sounding. Can we hear it? He says, the sounding, we need to know, we know exactly what to do. We need to start living the plan. Living the plan. I wanted to plan this. I wanted to, we file up. We go out the left door. We go up to the cell. We go to the cell. We're out in the grass. We wait. I want to have some sort of protocol. God's given a wonderful protocol. The fire alarm is sounding. Here it is. The sanctuary. The beautiful sanctuary. Psalm 77:13 says, "My way is a sanctuary." Here's the plan. Buy me gold, tried in the fire. Here's the plan. Remember the courtyard. The whole sanctuary model is the plan of salvation. The fire alarm is sounding. Are we working the plan? Here, the courtyard is our confession. Are we confessing? Are we surrendering and confessing and repenting of our ways? If we're holding on to any treasured sin, by God's grace, may we just let that go today. If we're holding on to some pride of life or lust of eye or lust of our flesh, can we just let it go? Let the Holy Spirit move us and God's grace and in God's arms so we won't sell. Let that go. Let the Holy Spirit help us. The courtyard is our confession. The holy place is our connection. That's where we pray over our Bible. And we pray for transformation, gospel, transformation, the incense. We pray that God will shine through us. The candlelight, the showbread, the bread, the word of God. Are we connecting in the holy place of the sanctuary? Confession, connection. Jesus then at the end of the 2300 days, Daniel 8:14, entered into the most holy place. when he's interceding for our fallenness. When Jesus is interceding for our fallen, right now, he's interceding for us. What do? How do we work the plan? How do we live the plan? Here it is. When Jesus intercedes for our fallenness, we fall on our knees and in utter surrender, dependence on his holiness to make us his righteous family. We depend on his holiness to give us his righteousness. We believe in righteousness by faith. We fall on our knees before the Father. And we depend on his holy nature then to give us our identity through our robe of righteousness so that we can be his family. So are we living the plan? Are we in the courtyard confessing? Are we in the holy place connecting through our Bible study? Through our Bible, and by the beautiful Bible study that we're all having here at the church, God bless us as you're doing that. God bless you. And that, are we connect? Are we praying, dear God, transform me? Let me be a light to the world. Are we praying, dear Lord, transform me? The gospel, the simple gospel, transform me. The world has watered down the gospel, hasn't it? Has watered down the gospel. Jesus gave us the gospel to make us new. The grace of God in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that forgiveness, that healing, and that restoration into his character, to conform to his likeness, to reflect his character. The gospel transformed, not patched up. I don't want to be patched up. I want to be transformed. When you put a patch on your tire, you always worry, ooh, that patch is going to run out. I don't want a patch. I want to go down to the store, the car tire store. I want a brand new one on there. Do you know God's going to give us a brand new one, a new character, brand new life? Do you know? And we go, I'll be praying for that transformation. And then, are we allowing God to shine through us? Dear ones, and here's the theology. We can't allow God to shine through us if we're holding on to a treasured sin. God's not going to shine through someone holding on to a treasured sin. God's going to reach out and try to heal that person. But the influence that person can have to the world cannot be in its full if we're holding on to a treasured sin. Can we let it go today? Can we let that treasured sin, let it go today? Let God, that we're there, have the identity of God's people. Have the identity of God's people. Have our tied toes pointed toward the door because we're going home. We're wearing the robe of righteousness and we're going home. Are we working the plan? And when Jesus stepped into the most holy place, that investigative judgment that's going on now, our mission, fall on our knees in utter surrender, dependence on his holiness to make us his righteousness, to give us his righteousness, to fulfill his righteousness in us so that we can be his people. Are we doing, are we falling on our knees in utter surrender, dependence on God Almighty in our lives? His holiness, his righteousness. To lift us up, give us his identity, give us his raiment, his wedding garment, so that he comes back, verse 28, at his coming, at his appearance, we'll be able to go right on in to the wedding feast. Dear ones, God bless us today as we surrender our lives. God bless us today as we confess our lives, as we live the plan of salvation in confession, connection, in conversion by God's grace. May we have the identity of God's people because we're wearing his robe of righteousness. We're going to his wedding feast. He's going to take us up and in, dear ones. May we be his people. Dear ones, I need to ask real quick before we have our prayer. The alarm is sounding. The fire alarm is sounding. It's bursting through the world. Dear ones, may we be ready to go home with him. Look in your hearts. I'm looking with us. Look with me. Look in our hearts. Lord, we're not ready. You got to make us ready. The straight testimony is we're not ready. The straight testimony of Revelation 3, the Laodicean, is we're not ready. We're holding on to some part of the world. It's defined here. Lust of eye, lust of flesh, pride of life. We're holding on. We're not letting go. we're not in utter surrender, dependence on God's holiness to make us new. Dear ones, now, before we're going to face our Savior very soon, the judgment is here. With me today, may we do that? May we just vow, I surrender it all. I surrender it all. Jesus, I want to stand for you. I want to be you. I want to choose you. I want you to live. I want to wear your identity. I want to wear your robe. I want to be ready for you. I want to be your family. I want to be your child. I choose you, dear. I want your righteousness. I don't want the world. I want my toes pointed to the door because I want to go home. I've been here long enough. Dude, I want you, Lord. I want you, Lord. Jesus is coming back for those that have chosen him. May we make that choice now? May we make that choice now? Yeah, let me make it. Make it with me. I'm making it right now. Let's pray. Real quick, let's pray. Dear Father, we hear the straight testimony. We hear it. It says, you're not ready because you haven't chosen. We're not ready because we haven't made a decision. May we make that decision today. May we buy of you, your character. May we buy of that by afflicting our own, looking inside, introspecting, and see, we're not ready, dear God. Help us to be ready. Cleanse us, heal us, lift us up. Restore us. And Father, as you're in that most holy place right now, interceding for our fallenness, may we fall on our knees and depend and surrender on your holiness, to give us the robe of righteousness that we need to go home. So Father, may you be with each one here, be with their families, their hearts, may we make the choice right now, dear God, I want to be ready to go home with you. Change us into your love. Thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.